Lord Jesus, you are worthy of all praise, and we are grateful for this blessed command to love one another. Teach us to do that with your strength and with your wisdom, and to love like you love, willingly laying our lives down, submitting to one another out of reverence for you, Jesus Christ. Amen. Ephesians 6 and verse 4. It talks about a choice. As parents, we get to choose whether we want to exasperate our children or train them. How many of us, when we were kids, would have wished that our parents would have chosen training a little bit more often and exasperation a little less? Sometimes, though, training can be exasperating, so that as a child, your perspective oftentimes is, you know, discipline is not appreciated at the time it's being given, but hopefully later on, it's fully appreciated. The text says, fathers, and you probably, if you've got any kind of footnotes or anything in your Bible, it would say, or parents. I think parents is implied here, even though it uses the word for fathers. The verses just prior to this, we're talking about children, obey your parents. And so this is a section on children and parents, and I would infer that fathers also means mothers. I don't think mothers get to exasperate their children. They generally don't. That's probably why fathers is mentioned here. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now, there's a sister text here in Colossians 3:21. It says, fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. And I think, as parents, we really have a pretty big influence on our children. And it can be for good or bad. And that's something to look at and consider. And in this section that we're talking about, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ, as parents, if we submit to our children in a way that it's going to build up the family, build up the child, encourage and care for and love and lift up, all those things that have been talked about in this section of Scripture, none of that goes away when we get to the part about fathers. Don't exasperate the children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now, as a child, I like to find loopholes when I was looking through the Bible, and it's like, okay, if mom or dad are doing something that's making me frustrated or exasperated, then somehow I don't have to follow the part that came before this. But the children obey your parents didn't go away just because of this verse. This is direction to the adults in the family relationship to not exasperate. But that doesn't excuse the children. Oftentimes kids can look at parents and say, well, you did it first. Might even be true. But not an excuse, just sometimes an explanation. I think Paul was pretty wise when he looked at this, and he's like, okay, what's one of the things that in a family relationship, when people are to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, what's one of the areas where they would be most likely to miss the mark, to not quite reach the expectation of submission to one another? And fathers exasperating their children. The fathers in his day and age pretty much had 100% control over everything, over the wives, over the children. They could do whatever they want. There's a letter that is a historic document that's oftentimes referred to about a gentleman. He was pretty far up in the Roman government, was writing a letter to his wife. He was away from home at the time she's about to give birth. And he pretty much told her, if it's a boy, that's wonderful, take good care of him. If it's a girl, throw her out. That was the kind of control that fathers had. So for Paul to say this, like, don't exasperate your children, he's taken everything up a notch. When he told husbands, love your wives, it's like, okay, that wasn't required in that society or at that time. And he's saying, this is how God would have you do it. Love like Jesus loved. Care for your children like Jesus cares for us. The training and instruction of the Lord. So we have a choice. In Joshua 24, this is, you know, a time where, you know, Joshua is coming to the end of the book of Joshua. And there's this, he's explaining to the children of Israel, you all have choices. Every time that you get up in the morning, you have a choice. Are you going to follow the commands of God or not? You know that there's consequences. We talked quite a bit about that last week, about consequences of disobedience or the blessings of obedience. Joshua's saying, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. You do get to choose. If you don't want to serve God, choose who you're going to serve. Are you wanting to serve the gods of your forefathers, the gods of the land? Do you want to serve yourself? Do you want to, I mean, who are you making on a higher plane than God? Who or what? Are you living for retirement? Are you living for your home or your car or your family even? Are you living for your job? Are you living for your ministry? Are you living for whatever ideal you think that you can live up to on your own? Or are you living for God? Are you serving God? Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And I think that concept of, you know, do you want to exasperate your children or do you want to train them and instruct them? There's a choice. Do you want to serve God or do you want to serve something else? Going back to the New Testament, 2 Timothy, and here Paul is writing to young pastor Timothy, and one of the things that he points out to him, and I go to this passage quite often because I was blessed to be raised in a Christian home. As for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. I had a privilege of being raised in a Christian home. My parents raised me in Scripture. Does that mean they did everything perfectly? No, and we don't either. But I knew who they were. I knew them inside and out, and I knew what their heart was, even when they were messing up, even when I mess up. God knows our heart. He looks on the inside. If it was strictly based on what we see on the outside, we could pick King David, we could pick Moses, we could pick Paul, all three of them basically murderers. And yet God is using those individuals to write the bulk of Scripture. So God knows our hearts. And here Paul saying, you know, Timothy, you knew the family that you were raised in. You know what they're like. He specifically mentions mom and grandma, so I don't know what the fathers were doing in that family situation with Timothy, but at least the women were raising the children in the way that they should go. And he says, all Scripture, you know about Scripture because that's what your family lived as they were raising you. All Scripture's breathed out by God. It's God-inspired. And it's useful for teaching. It's useful for rebuking. It's useful for correcting and training in righteousness. So when fathers are told, you get to choose, do you want to exasperate your children or do you want to train them and instruct them? It's useful for training in righteousness. If I want to instruct my children, I need to be living a life from Scripture. I need to be using Scripture as the plumb line for what is right and what is wrong. Training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In Proverbs 22, there's a lot of good proverbs about parenting if you just read through the entire book of Proverbs, but this specific one, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. there's a lot of study about how even in infancy up to maybe, you know, grade three or something, age 10, whatever, those are foundational building blocks in the development of children in their character and in a lot of what they think and how they live. And so if you've lost your child at those younger years, it's going to be awfully hard to bring them back to correct living, to wise living. But if they've been raised and trained in the way that they should go when they're younger, if they've started off right, they'll probably continue. It's one of those things where they'll roll along. Now, oftentimes in teenage years or early 20s, they rebel a little bit. They try to fall away some. But if they've been raised properly, their conscience will continue to work on them and they'll end up coming back to what is right and what is true. Proverbs 13. Whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. That's kind of interesting that in this day and age, it's almost like, okay, discipline is considered a bad thing. You should just let people do whatever they want to do. Give them freedom, okay? So if they're marching through the streets of Portland or Seattle and they just decide that they don't like this window and they're going to break it, or they just happen to have some explosive devices with them and throw them into a police station, you know, you don't want to discipline that. You want to just let that go. There's problems like that, but those individuals going and doing all this stuff probably missed out on some of that start up a child in the way that they should go, training them up in the early parts. I know it's not good to beat children. I strongly believe that most of the time we don't need to go to the rod. In fact, the King James Version for this verse is spare the rod and spoil the child, and I strongly believe we should do both. I think we should spare the rod when we can. I think the rod should be used sparingly. And if you can spoil a child in a good way, where you're heaping encouragement and love and praise on them, that works. But there comes a time where, you know, kid's going to do something that's going to be very harmful to themselves, or harmful to the family, or harmful to society. And if we don't bring correction during those times and just let it go, there will be consequences. Now, there's a certain trying to find that right balance. Okay, sometimes we all need to feel the consequences of our actions. So being overbearing can be just as much of a problem. That's where the verse warns us, don't exasperate your children. You can exasperate your children in a lot of ways. One of the ways would be totally overbearing. Another way would be so loose and not caring that you just let them go do whatever they want. Either way, the kids could get exasperated, feel like the parenting isn't proper. But coming up with that love balance where, you know, if my parents were punishing me, I could tell the difference between whether they were doing it out of anger and frustration or out of correction and love. And the anger and frustration times weren't very effective. Even if it changed my behavior for that moment, it didn't change my heart. But when I knew that I disappointed mom, I disappointed dad, and they were correcting me, and then when dad said, this is going to hurt me a lot more than it hurts you, sometimes I believed him, and sometimes I didn't. And you can kind of feel and tell the difference. And you know, just because a parent's doing all the right things doesn't mean they're doing it for the right motivation or in the right way. But they could be doing a lot of wrong things, and love covers a multitude of sins. And so parents training and instructing children in righteousness, it's important that when they stray too far, that you bring them back. A lot of times you can do that through a conversation. But this concept of the rod, And I'm going to get to that later when we get to Psalm 23, but next verse here, Proverbs 23, 13 and 14, do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish them with the rod, they will not die. Punish them with the rod and save them from death. there's a concept of if you let people just be stupid and think that that's okay, and then they grow up and they're being stupid with the wrong people, and then they get punched in the face or shot or something because you never pointed out to them that there's consequences for their actions. You've actually not done them any favors by allowing them to go uncorrected, undisciplined. Discipline is actually a form of love. Discipline is a way that correction brings life and peace. And of course, it's got to be done correctly. If it's done just out of anger and you know, might makes right kind of thing, that's not how parenting should be done. Sometimes my dad would say, "'Cause I told you so." And that should have been enough. And when we had a loving relationship, it's like, okay, he'll probably let me know why later. But sometimes he might have just said it out of frustration, and it's like, okay, he just knows that he's bigger than me, and there's going to come a time where I'm bigger than him, and because I told you so isn't going to be enough. So we have to have relationship as parents to children. And I think, again, the rest of us, thinking of our father relationship, Father God, should we obey him just because he told us? I think so. But we also have to know his heart, and he doesn't tell us to do things that are going to be harmful to us. He doesn't tell us to do things without cause or without reason. Psalm 28, just verses 8 through 10. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant. Actually following the laws of God, loving your neighbor, loving God, those are things that are going to bring you life. Obeying your parents, the first commandment with a promise so that your days may be long on the earth. If you look at the commands of God and you follow the commands of God, even if we wanted to start getting maybe into more of the dietary commands in the Old Testament, I'm not there. I don't live that way. I know a lot of people that do, where they try to follow all the dietary commands in the Old Testament. And they're probably healthier in those ways than I am, because I'm not choosing to do that. Some of those things we need to grow into. Sometimes our body tells us what's not working. You're violating every dietary command God ever gave, and you're getting sick. Wonder why that would be. You know, maybe God knows a little bit more about the creation that he made than we do. So just a thought. But, you know, God's commands, he's good, he's upright, and that's why he instructs, that's why he teaches and trains. In Deuteronomy, this is the Shema, Deuteronomy 6, and I'm just going to read 4 through 9, but that whole section is worth some more time to spend with it. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. In Jewish families, they would say this every day. It's kind of a reminder. And this is all in Deuteronomy, it's the second law. It's likely when the law was repeated and given another time so that they would have more grace and the ability to know what God's heart was and what God wanted and to be able to follow that. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Fathers, mothers, parents, do you want to exasperate your children, or do you want to train them and instruct them? Impress on your children the commands of the Lord. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Pretty much, just talk about them all the time. This should be a part of your life. It's not like, okay, do as I say, not as I do. This next part here is tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames, on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. It's supposed to be evident in the parent's life that they're following the commands. And so when they're impressing on the children, it's by word, but it's also by deed. It's by how we act, but it's what we say needs to be in there too. Explain to children why you're doing what you're doing. Take the time with them. This whole concept of sitting at home and being with your kids, walking along the road. You know, there's a whole lot of relationship is just time spent. Who do you feel close with? Who are you spending time with? When you lie down and when you get up, it's like, okay, this is a household situation that the family's together. They're either going to bed or they're getting up in the morning or they're walking along or they're sitting at home. They're doing one of those things. This is pretty much all the time. And because mom and dad are living these commands, they're going to impress on the children the importance of the commands. And if they're following the Lord's commands and living a successful, wonderful life that way, the kids are going to see that, and just that'll be naturally what they follow and do. I'm going to jump to Psalm 23. Real familiar psalm. I don't know, it's interesting that this gets connected with funerals quite often. I'm not sure why, because it seems to me to be a psalm of life. I guess maybe because the hope of future life, eternal life at a funeral, it's you don't want to say this is over, you're done. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. That whole section right there, does that sound like a loving father? It's like, wow, the Lord loves me enough that I don't need anything. Anything I need, it's covered. He's taking me where I need to go. He's providing for me what I need for sustenance. And also my soul is refreshed. He's doing all this for his name's sake. You know, parents, you're going to be judged by how your children act. That's a chip off the old block. The fruit doesn't fall far from the vine. Those sort of things. When we see our kids doing well, doesn't that refresh us? Doesn't that uplift us? Doesn't that make us feel like, wow? So when God's given us commands and guidance and comfort, all of those things, that's great. Now, it doesn't mean life is rosy and perfect. The psalmist gets to that. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It's interesting that the rod and the staff are a comfort. Discipline, instruction, it's a comfort. It's not, oh no, here comes Dad with his rod. It's like, oh, Dad loves me so much, he's not going to let me step out of bounds. Dad's going to guide me so that I don't go off into danger on my own. And he's going to use that rod to protect me. He's going to submit to placing himself in a position to protect and to defend and care for me. The next thing, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, this is a psalm of David. King David has written about this, and if you read his life, he really does understand that God is the one that brings him comfort and joy. God is the one that puts him in a place of protected leadership. He does become a king. He's sitting in the presence of his enemies quite often. And yet, as long as he's following God, things are working for him, even when they don't look like it on the outside. Even when people could say, oh, look, he's about to lose his kingship to his son that's being rebellious, God would still protect him and follow him, and he knows he gets to spend eternity with the Lord. So today's text again, fathers, and I think of Father God. Do not exasperate your children. Have you ever been exasperated by God? I can't think of a time where God has exasperated me. I've been exasperated, but usually because I've chosen to fall away or turn away from God, to not follow his decrees, to not love his commands. The choice is bring them up, bring up the children in the training and instruction of the Lord. And that goes a long ways. Thank you, Jesus, that you care about families. I thank you that you give wise advice in a short, succinct sentence to us as parents to know how we can and should interact with our children. Teach us to love like you love. Teach us to train and instruct and to take training and instruction from you as well. Help us to impress on those that are looking up to us who you are and what you've done for us. Love you so much, Jesus. Amen. Yes, sir.